Welcome to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I am your host, Andrew Rogers, and you know everybody knows that we're supposed to have a will and maybe some other documents in place when we die, but the big question is why? What are the real reasons we need to have those certain documents in place, and how do we figure out what the right documents are and when to do them, or what should we just do whatever documents an attorney or that Google search tells us? Joining me this morning with the answers to those questions and much more to help guide you and your family, Catherine Hammond, founder and president of the Hammond Law Group. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us here on KRDO News Radio.
Good morning, Andrew. It's so good to be with you. I'm excited to talk about this.
Absolutely. You know, we are talking about kind of that why behind estate planning. And let's talk about, you know, why most people just simply don't have a will or estate plan in place. You know, is it just maybe ignorance or fear of maybe talking about that inevitability?
Oh, good. You hit on something right there. The fear of talking about or facing our own mortality is a huge reason, I think, why so many people don't have something in place. And at the same time, we all know that at some point, we will no longer be here physically. And so it's one of the most important things that we do in a lifetime. One of the most certain parts of life is that we will need an estate plan when we die. But people are very uncomfortable talking about it. And most of us think, oh, you know, I'll get around to that next week or next year because I'm good for today. Nothing is going to happen for me today, because we don't typically get a lot of notice before something happens in our lives.
Yeah, and when it comes to estate planning, we know that's also something that probably grows along with you with the different stages of life. So let's talk about, you know, why people really need to get that estate plan in place early and then can kind of work with those documents as your situation changes.
Yeah. So I can still remember the day that I found out that my mother had early onset Alzheimer's. She had gone, and she was still in her 40s. And she had gone to a doctor. This is back in the 1980s. Alzheimer's was still kind of a new thing. And she'd gone to an appointment with her friend, and she couldn't accurately draw a clock. And that's one of the ways that we figure out that somebody is developing dementia, when they can't do those basic things anymore. And so as things progressed over the next few months, I found myself in a lawyer's office asking for help selling my mom's house, because she didn't have the ability to sign off on it. She couldn't live at home anymore, and I didn't have the legal authority to sell her house for her. So I had no idea the headache that I was entering into in terms of all the legal stuff, all the practical stuff. So that's what inspired me to go to law school and help other people navigate these tricky things of life. But that's an illustration of the kinds of things that come up and why we need an estate plan. All of us, we know, will pass away at some point. It's vital to have documents in place to make things as easy as possible for your loved ones in those really difficult moments. But also, many of us become incapacitated either temporarily or permanently before we pass away. And it's an awful situation, but we, if we plan well ahead of time, have the ability to make that awful situation a little bit less awful for the people that we love.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned, you know, this happened, you know, that instance with your mother when she was in her 40s. Again, not a lot of people are thinking about that, you know, young. They think, oh, you know, that's, you know, 10, 15 years down the road. But there's a lot to consider now. And what are some of the more common outcomes that people really need to be looking at to achieve when it comes to estate planning when you're starting to get this process rolling?
Yeah. So most people, when they start to look at estate planning, go into a lawyer's office and say something like, hello, I'm here to get a will and a power of attorney, or I think I need a living trust. I'm here to get a living trust. Whatever documents that they think that they need, because, you know, we've all heard things, maybe you've done some research. The truth is, nobody really needs a document that says will at the top, or says trust at the top, or says power of attorney at the top. And what we really need is the outcome that those documents are going to give us. And when you go into an attorney's office, a lot of attorneys kind of pretend like that's not true. They talk about just the documents. But what I want to do today is help equip your listeners to be able to go into the attorney's office and be in the driver's seat so that you can come out of the attorney's office with a plan that will actually accomplish what you want. So in the real estate world, it's all about location, location, location. In the estate planning world, it's all about outcome, outcome, outcome. And there are three different categories of types of outcomes that people really want. One is around what you want for your beneficiaries, the people who will receive your estate when you're gone. One is around your successors, your executor or your successor trustee. And then some of the outcomes are around yourself. What do you want to get out of this planning process? So educating yourself ahead of time and thinking through the kinds of outcomes that you want for everybody involved will help you go into the attorney's office and not be just at the mercy of whatever they tell you that you need.
Yeah, and when it comes to that discussion of beneficiaries, what are some people that things or some things that people should be keeping in mind when it comes to listing those beneficiaries and really with that mindset of the ultimate goal, what should they be keeping in mind as far as that role specifically?
Yeah, so as far as our loved ones go, our beneficiaries, let's start with the things that we want to avoid. So for most of us, the things that we want to avoid are even stronger than the things that we want to accomplish. For our beneficiaries, most of us want to make sure that we don't leave a heavy burden for them. We don't want this to be to take over their lives. We don't want them to have to work really hard to get what we want to leave them. Most of us want to make sure that there's no conflict, no unnecessary conflict between our children or other loved ones when we pass away. Most of us want to make sure that there's no fighting, no laziness on the part of our beneficiaries. We don't want to just give them a pot of money that they're going to use instead of working for the rest of their lives and lose their ambition. For me, some of the things that are most important to me is making sure that my beneficiaries are not uninformed, that they're not unaware, that they fight. Also, both of my daughters are married. They're married to great guys. But I want to make sure that if they ever get divorced in the future, that they don't lose half of their inheritance in a future divorce. Now, in terms of things that I want to provide for them or accomplish for them, I want to help them and their children and their grandchildren be educated. I want to support them in having successful, fulfilling careers. I want to support them in being involved in the community, having successful relationships, and having healthy physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional lives. I want to support all of that with the money that I leave behind.
Absolutely. There's so much to unpack. We're just getting started. I'm joined the entire hour by Catherine Hammond, founder and president of the Hammond Law Group. Catherine, if people want to get some more information, maybe this is sparking something that maybe they're thinking, I can't sit on the sideline anymore. I've got to get something done, not just for myself, but really to take care of that family. What's the best way to get more information and get that process rolling?
So we are having some workshops, in-person workshops, where we talk more in depth about all of this and help people get educated. Wednesday, April 12th at 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock p.m. locally in Colorado Springs, and then also Saturday, April 15th at 10 in the morning. You can call our office at 719-520-1474, or you can go to coloradoestateplan.com to get all of those details and to register. We also have webinars on a regular basis, so those are listed on our website as well.
Perfect. Again, get all those details at coloradoestateplan.com. We're going to continue talking about the whys when it comes to estate planning still ahead here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Joining me today talking about the whys when it comes to estate planning, Catherine Hammond, founder and president of the Hammond Law Group. And Catherine, before the break, we talked about some of the reasons people do estate planning and especially that relationship to the beneficiaries. But let's transition now to successors, executors, trustees, who will be kind of doing some of that legwork when it comes to executing that estate plan. How does that go, and especially getting them involved maybe earlier in the process?
Yeah. So we all know that somebody needs to pick things up whenever we can't take care of them anymore, whether we're incapacitated or we have passed away. And so whoever that person is, whether you have a will-based plan, and maybe you have a power of attorney and somebody named as your agent there if you become incapacitated, and an executor for when you die, or a personal representative, we call it in Colorado, or if you have a living trust-based plan, you have a successor trustee who steps in if you're incapacitated and when you pass away. The question is, how do you want things to go for them? And so when we sit down with prospective clients in our office, people who are investigating estate planning, we start the conversation with, what are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to avoid? And for most people who come in, they're wanting to minimize the hassle, they're wanting to minimize the burden. Often it's loved ones that we have stepping into these kinds of positions. Most of us want to minimize taxes. We want to minimize the expense. How much do you want to have to pay a lawyer when you pass away? And so there are different ways that we can set up an estate plan that will go different ways in relationship to the kind of hassle, burden, expense, and time commitments that our successors will have to put in. So with a will-based plan, if you have any real estate whatsoever, when you pass away, it will have to go through probate. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. They think that if they have a will, that they won't have to go to probate. Even if you own property in joint tenancy, once both of you have passed away, it will have to go through probate. So probate in Colorado is not a horrible monster, but it's still not a party. It takes 9 to 24 months. It takes, typically, I'll say $7,500 to $20,000 for an average, pretty simple probate. And there's some hassle that goes along with that.
Yeah, and, it's talking about kind of having that plan to guide, and obviously, you wouldn't go on a road trip without really maybe putting in your destination in a GPS or kind of looking along the way as well. And this is similar as far as, kind of leaving that guide behind to make sure that everything is accomplished successfully. And as you mentioned, without those common pitfalls that could come into place if it isn't put into a proper planning.
Right. And so when people want to minimize the hassle and the burden and the expense when they become incapacitated or pass away, we start talking about the various options, because that's where some people start considering a revocable living trust as the foundation of their estate plan. I happen to be a big fan of living trust because of what my mother went through with her Alzheimer's. If you have a living trust in place, powers of attorney are supposed to work for the rest of your life if you're incapacitated. But the reality is that they don't, because of our greedy litigious society. So most banks won't accept your power of attorney once it's more than a year old. And so people have a power of attorney that they're counting on for if they become incapacitated, so that somebody can sell their house and they can move into, some sort of a retirement community. And then person goes to sell the house, like I did with my mom, and they can't do it without having to go to court and set up a conservatorship and guardianship. So with a living trust, we don't have to go through the legal process. Whoever you named as your successor trustee just steps into place if you become incapacitated when you die, and we skip over the hassle, the burden, the delay, the expense, all of those things that are related with a probate.
Yeah.
This is what most people do.
Yeah, and having that really can help really gain a lot of trust going on with this. And when we're talking about the difference between, executor, successors, or trustees, how does having that estate plan really lined out and finalized really help them accomplish, what they're tasked to do come that ultimate ending?
Yeah. What I see it do is even more, there's some logistical ease that comes with having an estate plan in place, and I'll say particularly having the estate plan that doesn't require probate. So that would be a living trust for many people. It's the logistical ease, but it gives people space to really process the loss of somebody that they loved. Because when you're dealing with the legal system and trying to keep up with all of the legal and practical stuff and feeling burdened by that, there's no space to process. And so all of our processing of grief gets delayed. And having everything taken care of for your loved ones gives them peace. It gives them space to process. It gives them ease. It allows them to go on with their lives and allows your legacy to be one that can be more preciously honored in those days rather than them just being stuck in the mire of the legal system.
Yeah, and, you know, Catherine, as you've put this together and, you know, working with different families and obviously, you know, working in this line of industry, what are some of the biggest, you know, maybe mistakes or common misconceptions that you see people still trying to do when it comes to setting up that legacy and planning down the road?
One of the biggest things that I see is people thinking that a will is enough to avoid probate. Another mistake is thinking that they don't have to plan for disability, that everything will go smoothly. They don't realize that they need a legal plan for disability. And then the third big mistake that I see people make is trying to do documents them by ourselves. So the DIY plan, because it seems cheap, you can go on LegalZoom and print out some documents. They say will or trust at the top, and we think that that's enough. But as we've started to touch on just briefly today, it's not about having a document that says the right words at the top. It's about having a plan that actually accomplishes what you want.
Absolutely.
And that, yeah, we don't know whether it accomplishes what we want if we do it ourselves.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to talk much more about that still ahead. Unfortunately, we're up against the clock. We have to take a short break, get up to speed with our top national and international headlines. Again, continuing the conversation about estate planning with Catherine Hammond of Hammond Law Group. If anyone wants more information, you head over to ColoradoEstatePlan.com. More still ahead. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Continuing our conversation with Catherine Hammond, the founder and president of the Hammond Law Group. You know, Catherine, before that break, we were talking a little bit about that difference between, you know, trying to do some of these estate planning documents by yourself or maybe going to one of those online sources where you kind of fill in a boilerplate template. And let's talk a little bit about really that need to get some more professional help and really make sure that you're getting an estate plan not just tailored to whomever you're leaving to, but really your personalized situation, because no two situations are the same. Catherine, do we still have you on the line here?
Oh, here I am.
Oh, perfect. I was getting a little nervous there for a minute.
Thank you. So ultimately, an estate plan is for us. It's what we want to accomplish for ourselves and for our loved ones. So thinking through what's important to you, if you become incapacitated, what kind of care do you want to receive? Who do you want to be making decisions for you? Do you want to live at home as long as you can? How do you make sure that you get the care that you deserve? One of the things that none of us likes to talk about is if there are decisions, important decisions that need to be made medically, if we're in a situation where we have to make decisions about end of life care, and do we want our lives prolonged or do we want to be allowed to pass away? All of those things are vitally important for us to think through and have plans for and ideally communicate those plans. And then thinking through what do we want for ourselves, the peace of mind, because people do estate planning for our own peace of mind. So what kind of peace of mind do I need to have for when I pass away around how things are going to go for my family? How complicated or simple do you want it to be? How worried are you about what your beneficiaries are going to do with the money? All of this is about making sure that we have peace of mind ourselves.
Yeah, and this is very important as well, and it's something that shouldn't be taken lightly or rushed through, and this really, you know, leads to making sure that you are carving out a proper amount of time to really make sure this is taken care of properly, because as you listed, a number of things that are very important for yourself and for those decision makers, you know, come that time.
Right. And we can't do it if we wait too long. And none of us knows exactly how long we have to take care of our estate planning. Some of us have unexpected events in our 40s. Some of us have get to have longer lives, and some of us have shorter lives. And so there's no time that's too early to take care of these things, because having an estate plan before you need it doesn't hurt anybody. But not having an estate plan when you need it really ends up impacting everybody, you yourself and everybody that you love. And most of us want to have the thing that people tell us after they sign their estate plan. They walk out of the conference room having signed their estate plan, and they like heave this big sigh of relief, and they say, oh my gosh, this feels so good. I wish I would have done it years ago. They have this huge sense of peace of mind. They feel like they've accomplished something that was kind of hanging over their heads for a long time.
Yeah, and you know, as we mentioned, it's that, you know, ultimately those questions of what you want to accomplish, you know, as you're making this process, but there's also key things that you can also dictate in that plan as well, as far as what you want to make sure that your successors, your trustees, executors can avoid as well.
Right. And I mean, let's just talk about beneficiaries specifically. As far as beneficiaries go, some people, let's say that you have kind of normal family situation of an average client of ours. We have a whole lot of variation, but let's say that somebody has two adult children who are 27 and 24, and they're very responsible young adults. They have great jobs. It's still important to think through exactly what do you want this money to do for them. Because if you hand them, let's say average client has, by the time you sell the house and you cash out the life insurance and the IRAs and all of that, let's say that we have $2 million. Giving a $1 million check to each of those two kids is life-changing. And are they really prepared for it? How do we take that from being just a transfer of assets and maybe them doing things with that money that they're going to have regrets around in a few years to really being an opportunity for them? And the change of going from transfer to opportunity depends on having a good plan that has been created very thoughtfully. Not just here's who I want to get my money and when I want them to get it, but the thoughtfulness behind that that creates how that's going to carry out.
Yeah, and you know, Catherine, let me ask you this as well too, because there's also situations where, you know, and I'll look at myself, including my family, someone with very small children as well, and that creates some other kind of questions, very important decisions to be making and thinking through now before, you know, something's ultimately too late.
Right. So for people who have minor children, there are some additional issues. We know that we need to have somebody to manage the money for them while they're growing up and ideally until at least age 25. But the most important thing for parents of anybody who's under 18 universally is who is going to take care of my children if I'm gone? And a lot of people postpone putting an estate plan together because there is no perfect person to raise our kids, right? And so it feels hard to choose somebody because whoever we choose is going to be inadequate for the job, but it's a whole lot better for you to choose that person than for a court to look at three people who show up in the courtroom who all say, oh, I think I'm the best, and the court to make that decision because they don't know these people. They have no idea. They're really guessing. It's vitally the most important thing we can do when we have children who are still at home is make sure that the person who would be caring for them if and when we're gone is the person that we choose.
Absolutely. And then again, you know, when we're talking about making this estate plan, it's something that you mentioned you can never do too early. And that's the beautiful thing, because it is a living document and you can make those adjustments. Say, you know, the kids grow up, no longer those dependents. I mean, you can continue to adjust those plans as it goes along. It's not like it's one time set in stone and that's going to be what it is, right?
Absolutely. The estate plans, good estate plans, evolve over time. So anybody who has created a will or a trust and you've put it in the drawer and you may not even be sure where it is or it's getting dusty and you don't even remember exactly what's in there, please pull that out of the drawer, take it to your attorney, and have it reviewed not because we're afraid that the document itself is outdated, but because there are things in your life and in the world and in your list of assets that have changed since you put that together. I had a woman come in one time whose mom had just passed away, and she was so distressed because mom's will said that 50% of the estate went to a church that her mom had left like 12 years earlier and absolutely hated. And half of her mom's money was going to this church that mom was not happy with, and there was nothing that we could do about it. Those kinds of things come up. Our relationships with different people change. Different people themselves change. And so making sure that what you have put together still fits with what is currently true for everybody is really important.
Absolutely. We have to take one final break. We're going to continue talking estate planning with Catherine Hammond, founder and president of the Hammond Law Firm, still ahead right here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We are joined this hour by Catherine Hammond, the founder and principal of Hammond Law Group here in Colorado Springs. And Catherine, we've talked so much today about the whys when it comes to estate planning, why you should, but I guess one question that still kind of remains is, why would people not be getting that estate plan done now?
It's such a good question, Andrew. And the biggest reason that we see is because they don't know where to start. People think that there's stuff that they need to figure out before they get their estate plan done. They want to understand how the estate planning process works, how the probate system works, what kinds of documents do they need. And so they start doing research online. And honestly, online there is all kinds of information and guidance that will send you in a billion different directions. And so people get stuck in a loop, not knowing exactly what to do or where to go and what they need. And especially engineers feel like they have to have it all figured out before they go to an attorney. And so we've tried to make it easy for people at Hammond Law Group by providing workshops and webinars for the public where we provide education about how the system works, about different concerns and ways to plan, that is free for the public and zero pressure to do any work with us. It's a public service for us. We offer a free consultation to people who do come to one of our workshops or webinars, but people have found that it's a great place to start.
Yeah, so see, listeners, right there, Catherine just answered it. The perfect starting place right here. Just call, get that consultation, because really, as we've talked about with so many things in life, if you wait for that perfect time will never get there. The perfect time is right now, because this is not only peace of mind for yourself, but this is truly the best gift that you can leave your loved ones, is having everything lined out and ready to go, so there is no fights, there's no drama, there's no squabbles when it comes to that time where you're also dealing with so many other emotions.
Exactly. And so I would recommend that people spend some time thinking about what they want for their beneficiaries, for their successors, their executors or successor trustees, and for yourselves, and then take one step. Make an appointment with a qualified estate planning attorney, go to a workshop or a webinar, do something so that you're one step closer to having an estate plan in place that will protect your loved ones.
Absolutely. And, you know, you sit down and you talk with these people, you know, day in, day out. What are some of those things that, you know, maybe if they don't even know where to begin, they're still thinking about, you know, it's such a heavy picture. You know, what are some of the key questions that you would suggest even thinking about now as they're maybe waiting to make that phone call, or that they can be asking themselves between, you know, that phone call and the appointment?
Yes. So one of the big things is, who do you want to receive your money when you're gone? So for many people, for people who have children, it's my kids, of course. Some people want to leave money specifically to grandchildren as well. Most people just leave it to their children and let them do something with it. And then thinking through, what do you want that to accomplish for those beneficiaries? Do you want to give them money so that they don't have to worry about working? Do you want to give them money for education? What exactly do you want that money to do in their lives, to change in their lives? And then the other big thing that I recommend people think about before they get started or as they get started is, who do you want to be in charge of wrapping things up? For many people, it's a family member, maybe a responsible adult child, or maybe a sibling or a friend. There are lots of trusted folks. But I want to plant a seed for our listeners to consider the possibility of having somebody professional step into that position of wrapping things up. Because when it's a family member, things can get a little bit tense. Other people will have criticisms. Other people will think you're doing it too slowly, or you should have done this, not that. That can cause tension. And the thing that we have seen is when people hire a professional, it gets done, I'll say, in about a third of the time on average, sometimes even more quickly than that, because, you know, your adult child or your sibling, they have their own lives. They can't set all of that aside full time to focus on wrapping things up for your estate. So consider the possibility of a professional, and it doesn't have to be a huge bank. There are professional fiduciaries that we love and trust, and if you call our office, we can refer you to, who really take great care of things and make sure it's easy for your family and done quickly.
Yeah, and you know, this is something, it's not like the movies where when that eventual time comes that everyone's gathered in an attorney's office and they put a video on the screen and it's announced out. This is something that needs to be done early, but also communicated with the rest of the family, those beneficiaries and successors as well. So there are no secrets and no kind of, you know, landmines that come after you pass.
Right. The last thing in the world that we want is for there to be some sort of a landmine, or, you know, you left all of your money to one child and disinherited the other, and everybody finds that out when you're gone, because even the child who's receiving the money is now in a difficult position. And the smaller landmines that aren't so obvious are things that a qualified attorney can help guide you around.
Absolutely. And there are some great ways to continue starting that process right now. I know you've got some seminars coming up, some webinars. Let's talk about how people can get that more information and get this ball rolling.
Yes. So we have in-person live workshops with an attorney coming up on Wednesday, April 12th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock in the evening. I will be teaching those myself. And then on Saturday, April 15th, at 10 o'clock in the morning, you can call our office at 719-520-1474 or go to coloradoestateplan.com to get all of the details and register. We also have a webinar that Tuesday, the 11th of April, and you would register for that the same way. If you'd like to sit behind your computer, you still have an opportunity to ask an attorney questions at the end of that. It's a live webinar. So.
Absolutely. Well, Catherine, we appreciate your time and joining us here on this very important topic. Definitely a lot of valuable information. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, Andrew. It's been great chatting with you.
You as well. And again, for more information, just head on over to coloradoestateplan.com. That does it for The Extra. Tom Martino's next here on KRDO News Radio.